gets it together, I'll go to that. If we find a good place.
Oh, yeah. And, like I said, I think the hotel down the street would be better for what we want, which is the Hilton. He's at the Crown Plaza, but it's the same area of town and stuff, so.
Nice. You want to get into this one?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go ahead and jump in.
Here we go, guys. This is episode 33.5. This one's a meta. It's just entitled Current Events.
Welcome, one and all.
We've had a whole lot of stuff going on lately that we've had episodes that we've recorded that are publishing as we speak that we've already recorded stuff in the past, and now we're having to go into the future and record other stuff, so we have to put on our wizard hats. But it is May 31st, 2017. Tomorrow will be the 1st of June. Ugh. So we're just going to do a quick little meta on current events, some of the stuff that's been going on, because we didn't want you to think that we weren't paying attention. How you been, Scotty?
Nah, not too bad, man. Just hanging in there. The slow time of the year for sales, because all convention season's cranking up, so everybody's saving the dollars for the shows and everything. But
got your competition going on.
That's when I always crank up eBay and let that take care of that little dip. So
it's frustrating to me, man. I've been looking for stuff. I can't believe in the fourth largest city in the country that I have to go to eBay to find the stuff that I want. Because all the comic stores have the same stuff, but they don't have what I want.
Right. The prices are very jacked up.
Right. Well, even so, I'll ask them, do you guys actually get any, like, of this or that or the other thing? And they'll be like, nah, man, that's something you probably want to hit up eBay for. And I'm like...
No, just so you know, a lot of times what happens with that is, and I know one comic book store for sure in Houston that I won't mention any names, I'll just let everybody out there try to figure out who it might be, but they've been in business for a very long time, and a lot of his inventory is spread out in a couple of different storage units. He just doesn't feel like going to get it. If it doesn't come in right now and he can put it on the shelf, then he's not going to have it.
Mm. See, that's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling there's more than just one that happens to. Because, I mean, that. You know, you got this years ago, you're not going to go dig out through a storage unit and try to get it back out. Just wait till you get another one in to sell it.
True. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird dynamic. I come up from a sales background, and it's kind of like customer comes in, they're like, oh, do you have this thing? And I'm thinking, well, it might be a pain in the ass for me to find this thing. Like, I'll have to drive to another store. I might get home 20 minutes late or something today. But that customer's going to be so appreciative of me finding that thing that he's looking for, that he's going to come in and actually spend money with me
later. Right. That's why, you know, when I was in the corporate world and everything with my customers, I never said no. I always said I'll find out.
Right.
You know, it's just the way you do things.
So, anyway, I'm kind of on the hunt. You had that pile of Mad Magazine books. I'm not really looking for those, but I want some... I'm really getting into like the old Pulp Fiction novels, sci-fi, the sci-fi and fantasy is probably the biggest place where like those like dime and quarter novels mm-hmm. were in like the 50s and 60s. Right. But I don't know. I fell into an internet wormhole the other day, and I just started like looking at these old covers and kind of reading about it. It's like we in the last episode we talked about like smut and porn and how people like we have the internet now, so you don't have to worry but Stephen King came out of the smut world. Like he published stories in like Penthouse and Playboy right. and like yeah, Jugs yeah. and stuff, and there are some like famous writers that first published in those kind of like pulp magazines, and I started googling some stuff, and I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like 10-cent novels or whatever. Like, where are these things? Like, right. Are they in private collections? A lot of them got thrown away. I'm not looking necessarily for old smut novels. I'm talking about like just those old like sci-fi collections.
Well, one of the things you have is those are well-read books, so they weren't hardcover; they were magazines. So they kind of just went away. They got thrown away. They got trashed. You know, those weren't the ones that people held on to.
Right.
Didn't think it'd have any value in the future. So, yeah, you don't find a lot of them.
Well, and that's why I'm looking for them now.
I think I got a couple over here, actually.
I don't need them to be in great condition. I just think they're neat. They got some really cool old covers. They got some anthologies that you have, like Untapped Robert Heinlein and Untapped Stephen King and stuff, like, just in these little anthologies, those little pulp novels.
Just raw, unedited, no publishing house, you know, saying what he could put out there.
Exactly. Those old Bantam books and stuff like that. So, that's kind of my new thing.
So, that's a cool thing to be into.
It's fun. It's kind of hard to find. But hey, man, we're just going to talk about, you know, kind of like a little free form, sort of like episode 33 and a half is sort of a continuation. We just have had some stuff that's happened since the last time we met, so we figured we'd
talk touch about on it a little bit.
One of the things is we got sucked into and are now servants of Ming. Hail Ming.
Hail Ming.
The Hail Ming Power Hour is a fellow podcast that is absolutely hilarious. If you're not listening to it now, you are compelled to by your master, Lord Ming.
And we especially find them hilarious because they seem to be into and enjoy a lot of the same things we do.
Absolutely. So if you know, don't pause this. Just wait till we're done. But as soon as you're done, go to your podcast machine and look up the Hail Ming Power Hour and the Short Bus Radio. Or I think short. I meant to write it down.
I believe before it
I
came is. In. Yeah,
but right. it's connected to Hail Ming. Those guys are hilarious.
They're great. They're funny. Very unique personalities and fun to listen to.
So check them out. And I guess whenever this thing drops, it'll be about 2 weeks ago. But for us, it's only about a week ago that it happened. Mm-hmm. But Chris Cornell died.
Yeah.
Soundgarden.
Yeah, pretty shocking one there. Nobody was expecting that. That was out of left field.
Yeah, really. So, I got to ask you, were you a big Soundgarden fan?
Yeah. I mean, during that period of that grunge rock, I mean, it kind of changed everything you were listening to. I remember where I bounced at in college, the bar next door, they started having grunge night. Mm-hmm. You know, just because that whole movement of rock music, everybody just jumped on and it took over. The hair bands just went away overnight.
Overnight. Oh, absolutely. I remember... I mean, Soundgarden had been around by this time, but I remember a buddy of mine, this is how fast things happen whenever you're a teenager. It had been maybe like a day or two after Smells Like Teen Spirit had hit.
Mm-hmm.
And a buddy of mine's like, oh, have you not heard this song yet? It's like, what song are you talking about? And he played Smells Like Teen Spirit, and I remember hearing that song and being like, ooh, I want to hear more like this. Like, where has this been all my life? And then, like you said, it seems like almost overnight.
There was like a ton of grunge bands on the radio.
It was like the universe gave good music permission to exist. Because before it was like Warrant and Winger. And we're old school metal fans. So we're not even talking about those guys. We're talking about those like boy bands that just dressed
mainstream
up.
Ones that were just, that's what you heard on the radio. All of a sudden overnight you were hearing grunge rock on the radio,
right? And you know, like Soundgarden was one of those. I have to admit, I was never the hugest Soundgarden fan. I always liked Soundgarden. I always liked it's one of those things. I always liked everything I heard by Soundgarden.
But their grunge was a little bit heavier than a lot of the other stuff, and I think that's what drew me to them.
See, my favorite band from that early 90s phase is and has will always be Alice in Chains.
Nice.
I love Alice in Chains, and
I actually did the Rooster for Karaoke one night. I was a big Alice in Chains
fan. We used to play a couple songs in my old band. Shout out to Thunderpants, they're still playing.
Is it a thunder in your pants?
But man, I loved Alice in Chains, I love Nirvana, I love Soundgarden. But it wasn't until I was just a little bit older. So, like, I guess all this shit started happening like 91, 92. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Nevermind, and then Alice in Chains with Dirt, and Soundgarden with Bad Motorfinger, and then Pearl Jam with 10. So there's like the big four coming out. You at the same time, you had like Smashing Pumpkins.
The Stone Temple Pilots was around that time.
Stone Temple Pilots came a little later.
A little later, okay.
And they weren't Seattle.
Right,
Smashing Pumpkins wasn't either. Well, Seattle, Smashing Pumpkins was contemporary, but they weren't in that. Like,
They weren't in the direct movement.
Your Monsters of Rock were going to be those four bands.
Yes.
And all of them were so angry and nihilistic and heavy.
Dark.
And dark. And it was a perfect place for a teenager to live.
Right.
I mean, the problem now that I see as a grown-up, you know, that's my 40-year-old self and not my 18-year-old self, is a lot of times, you know, like with all the, with like the Wingers and the Poisons, they were singing about parties and good times and just looking rough. You know, these guys from Seattle, they were singing about despair and they were living it.
Right.
And it's almost one of those things, like with Cobain, it was like, kid was only 27 years old when he checked out.
And he was on top of the world, too.
He was on top of the world, but I mean, depression and pain don't...
What I mean by that is at the height of his career.
Right. Depression and pain, but he actually, you know, he's... For his heroin addiction and his depression both, even if those were not a factor, he still bought into the rock and roll mythos. I don't want to necessarily say that it was planned, but it certainly didn't. It had crossed his mind because he wrote it in lyrics that it's better to burn out than fade away. And that was a Neil Young lyric, but he mentioned it, and he, you know, he kind of romanticized his own place in the rock world. Lane Staley's lyrics, you know, what's my drug of choice? Well, what have you got? And I don't go broke, and I do it a lot. You know, Junkhead, those... I mean, his death was almost inevitable, you know?
Right.
Soundgarden, the lyrics were just as dark and just as bleak, but it was somehow more mature. It was more elevated.
Yeah. It was the style of music was...
It was less angry teenager and more...
Just heavy.
Heavy, eloquent, you know? And... then, you know, you fast forward 20-something years, 27, 20, 26, 27 years, and he was married and had a kid. He had gone through, I mean, he'd been through so many multiple, like, solo and Audio Slave, and then back to Soundgarden. He'd done so many things, and it almost seemed like he had just, I don't want to say, like, I don't want to trivialize depression, but it was like, he got past it.
Well, see, he made it through that rough point,
right?
To where you think you should be safe because you're just finishing it up now,
right? You know, and I actually had tickets to go see him for the show they were supposed to play on the 25th. So the 18th, I woke up and made my kids breakfast and sat down and popped open my phone to just kind of see what the news was. And I turned to my wife and I was like, "I think Chris Cornell died." And it was just like such a shock, just out of left field. And it was been really rough, you know, seeing all the tributes and stuff. I mean, because again, he's not one of us. He's 10 years older than me. Mm-hmm. But still, it was just that whole, like, you should have been able to have made it, man. And I don't, anytime somebody commits suicide or self-destructs, the drive to be like, oh, well, he's on top of the world. What did he have to be sad about?
It has nothing to do with anything.
It's got nothing to do with anything. You know, I just wish that he would have found the right proper mix of medications to make him okay. Because obviously he didn't.
He wasn't. Right.
But, man, that one hit really, really hard.
A lot of people.
I've been listening to Soundgarden a lot lately, too. And what's weird is when Cobain died, everybody suddenly went back and re-examined all the music. Like, wow, he really did talk a whole lot about despair.
Yeah, he was a depressed ass dude, man.
Despair and wanting to die. And Soundgarden said it better, but he said the same thing.
It's more mature. It's more mature music.
So this one, you know, raise a glass to Chris. I'm gonna miss him. That's another thing. Is Soundgarden is just one of those stalwart bands. I just always assumed he'd just be around.
Right.
If he wasn't if he wasn't in Soundgarden, he was making music somewhere, but he's been on the radio for the more than half of my life.
Right.
So here's Chris.
You know, even saying that, at that time when the grunge movement came out, the I was bouncing at a, it was an alternative club. Not an alternative lifestyle, but alternative music back then. We played a lot of the Smiths, Bolshoi, a lot of that kind of stuff we played. We never played any glam rock bands. But when the grunge movement came out, we brought that music into the club. Mm-hmm. That's how popular it was. That's how good it was. It was good stuff. It was more mature than the glam rock. Mm-hmm. It told stories, you know. It was, you know, the Motley Crue, just that
girls, girls, girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it was music that had feeling to it. I mean, if you listen to a Smith song, it's telling a story. You know,
it matters. It's
such an interpret. This music, all of a sudden, that was becoming mainstream, did the same thing.
Right.
So we brought it into the club and everything.
It was the difference. It was somehow, I don't know, the quote, you've seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And that was Hunter S. Thompson. That's another one who checked himself out. But he has that whole drugged, crazy, just nuts game that they're playing. But then he has that moment where he's just alone looking out the window, and he talks about the 60s movement, of how for one bright moment there it looked as if their idealism was going to rise up and make a change in the world, but then drugs and factions and everything just kind of got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and if you look out a Vegas window staring west, you can kind of see where the wave crested and then fell back to the sea. I always felt like that with grunge music. It was like these incredibly good bands rose to meteoric fame. They were just a whole bunch of dumbass kids.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they were all older than me, but I'm all older than they are. I'm all older now than they were then.
Right.
I can look back and I can think,
different perspective.
Like, man, if I was 21 years old and all of a sudden had just the world by the ass, or, you know,
you would think you were 10 foot tall and bulletproof, yeah, too. Shit.
And instead of buying the shitty cheap heroin, you can buy the good stuff,
right?
You know, and you don't even have to stand out in the alley and wait for it. You can hire somebody to get it for you, and you know these people self-destruct.
And you got to wonder, which I've always looked at it like this, you know, when a lot of these folks get into that much excess, is it a way of slowly committing suicide, just wanting to be done with it?
We always have the for some reason the Smiths keep jumping into our conversations. There's a lot of situations where this lyric springs to mind, and the lyric says, "What she said, I smoke because I'm hoping for an early death, and I need to cling to something."
Right.
And I think that with so many of these, it's like whether it's heroin or cocaine or just alcohol or whatever, it's like they're just reaching out for something to grab onto.
Yeah.
You know. And sometimes the thing that they find, there's no anchor to that.
Right.
You know, and
so many self-destruct.
So moving on to, you know, not much happier news.
Yeah, the 2 days later, is that right?
No, it's last week, so. We lost Roger Moore.
Yeah.
But,
and like we were saying earlier, that's, for my generation, that is our James Bond.
Yeah,
that's the first one we were introduced to, and the one we knew.
Yeah. So, Moonraker, View to a Kill, Man with a Golden Gun, Live and Let Die, Spy Who Loved Me, and Octopussy.
And he was a quintessential James Bond. He played the role to a T. He did Sean Connery justice, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... And For Your Eyes Only.
No, he was 89 years old, so, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't know where he was now anyway. And
yeah.
Still kind of came as a surprise, though. But.
It was a shock. I mean, he'll be James Bond. I always remember when I was a kid, watching James Bond movies, my dad would always be like, oh, no, Sean Connery. But it's a generational. I mean, Timothy Dalton, Pierce Brosnan, and even Daniel Craig, they're all James Bond for the generation that they're in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we're drinking to our fallen today. Yep. Here's to James Bond.
Yep, I always will be. Mm.
So let's move on. We started this podcast. It's raining. It's butt off outside. I sent my wife a text earlier telling her that I made it here safely, but I was informed 5 minutes ago that I sent that to Scott instead of to her.
Yeah, that's what happens when you turn your phone on airplane mode.
So I was hoping that she would respond at some point, but she's probably kind of upset, so we're going to probably cash this one out pretty soon so I can roll on home. What else you got, man?
I got a little bit of news in the horror scene that I just wanted to bring up real quick. One of our favorite Deadite fighters, Mr. Bruce Campbell, is coming out with a new book called Hail to the Chin, Further Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, which looks like it's going to be pretty good. He's going to be bringing up a bunch of stories that went on during filming of different movies and just different parts of his life. I didn't know he released an excerpt today, and I'll hand it to you so you can check it out. But it's about, he ended up going to Iraq for like a USO thing, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool.
He does quite a bit of that.
He does a good little story about it. He never thought he would be in a war zone, but he ended up being in a war zone in Iraq, which was pretty cool of him to do. Another little bit of news is I'm ready to go to Universal Studios, just so you know, because they are starting for their Halloween Horror Nights this year. They're going to have the Shining Maze. It's going to be a maze designed after the movie The Shining, which Universal Studios, you think they're going to go all out with that, and it ought to be a really, really cool experience. So that's going
to
be neat.
I'm trying to talk my wife into going vacation up in Colorado at Estes Park to check out the original Stanley Hotel.
That would be very cool. In movie news, just got a couple things. One, Jeepers Creepers filming ended a couple months ago, and they have a release date now. So it's looking like it's going to be Labor Day weekend this year. Just like the other two came out Labor Day weekend, and this one looks like it's going to fall with the same vein. Still no scenes or trailers released yet. They're still editing and stuff, but all indications show this is going to be they're going to knock it out of the park with this one. So
it'll
be a real good movie. Another one, Strangers 2, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. That's a scary-ass movie. Just if you put yourself in the situation,
it's a home invasion.
If you watch it's a home invasion that takes hours because they just torment these people
because they were home,
and there is no happy ending to the Strangers. And I think the Strangers 2 is going to be in the same vein. They've got a few extra people that they added to it, and I mentioned earlier Miss Christina Hendricks, which is all just reason enough for me to go and see that movie right now. I don't have to go through it anymore. She's a very talented actress. I don't know if you ever watched Mad Men, but she's awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing this. I'm not sure what part she's playing in it. She just mentioned it's one of the new cast members. So, and that's it for the movie scene for right now. Only other thing I wanted to mention is there's a horror con coming up in Bastrop, Texas, first week of October, called the Cult Classic Convention. And they're going to be doing a full reunion from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is going to be pretty cool. I think they got 7 folks from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. No, 8. From the Massacre, Sid Haig's going to be there. They're going to have some 80s Scream Queens. It's going to be a...
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, in Bastrop, Texas, home of the station, which is the gas station featured in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So they're going to be providing barbecue from the station for the con. It's a small-town con, but it looks like it's going to be a big hit. So we plan on... Adrian King's going to be there for Friday the 13th.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be it's going to be worth the drive. It's less than a two-hour trip from Houston. I'll definitely day trip it for sure. Sherry Curry, lead singer of the Runaways. She just also does chainsaw artistry, which is interesting.
Cherry bomb!
And with the Scream Queens, Jules Shepherd from Return of the Living Dead. Felisa Rose, who was in Sleepaway Camp and a few other horror movies in the 80s. She still looks very beautiful. And Tiffany Shepis, who was in Tales of Halloween, Dropping Evil, and she was also featured in 12 Monkeys.
Beautiful.
Sharknado 2, Asylum of Darkness. She's definitely one of the would be considered a scream queen. So it's going to be a neat little show, man. Good prices. A weekend pass for this show is $35.
Oh, wow.
You can't beat the prices for sure. So
I might have to day trip that one out, too. Yeah. That's October.
Yeah, so. First weekend of October. Well, the last weekend of September. So it's the 29th, 30th, and 1st.
Oh, that's my damn birthday.
I'll be there. I'll take it in for you. Don't worry.
We'll see how that works. Well, hey, guys. As always, thank you for listening to the Scary Dad podcast. With losing Chris Cornell and Roger Moore, it seems like 2017 is maybe not hitting us as quite as hard as 2016, but it's kind of on a roll.
Right.
I mentioned it on that episode with Chris from Dudes and Beer at the time that I think we're going to see a little bit more of this just kind of celebrity death count because there's more people that are just generally classified as celebrities than there used to be.
Right.
So I don't think it's going to end. There's unfortunately going to be a lot more to talk about in coming days. And hopefully we give you guys a sort of a levity on perspective on things, you know. Excuse me. The Chris Cornell thing hit me pretty hard, you know.
You said that was a shocker.
And
you had tickets for a show. Think about it.
I had tickets for a show. I was really looking forward to seeing it. Now, I mean, to think of his wife and his kids and all of that other stuff, me missing a show is
right.
Pretty.
But just the fact that he was still touring, you'd never guess that.
No, absolutely. Yet. And everything seemed just fine. So, hey, guys, if things aren't looking up for you, if you think, but believe me, things get better. People do care. They do want to talk to you. So, if at the very, very, very least, give a shout out to your old friend Scary Dad and say, "Hey, what's up? I'm feeling down," and I'll send you some pictures of some funny videos or something that I saw on the internet.
Quote some Voltaire and get you back on track.
Yeah, but no, in all seriousness, guys, like if you're feeling down, let somebody know. Don't go the way that Chris did.
Right.
Turn it into good art. Do what Neil Gaiman said. Make good art. You know, turn it into art. The world wants you here, despite your suspicions.
Because there's a reason that you're here. So. Right.
Anyway, that's all I got for today. Thank you for listening to the Scary Dad podcast.
We do appreciate you.
Stay scary.
Peace.